Right now, we need to get to the geopolitical activities that are happening around the world. The man who does that for us is Ken Timmerman out of Washington, D.C. And Ken, let me get right to it. You wrote an op-ed page for the Washington Times this week. You asked an unbelievable question, basically, of the Obama administration. What's the real questions about Benghazi that need to be answered? Talk to me about that, and why are you going after the Obama administration? Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek. I'm not attacking you. I believe you need to do it. But tell everybody eavesdropping why you're doing this.
Well, I feel, first of all, the American public and the families of the four people who were killed in the attack on our special mission compound in Benghazi last year, they've never gotten the truth. Instead, they've gotten government stonewalling and lies and obfuscation. We saw that again on Thursday with a hearing by the House Government Reform Committee, where Admiral Mullen and Ambassador Pickering, who led the State Department's Accountability Review Board, basically stonewalled questions about what actually happened and on the availability of military assets to come and help the people who were at the annex, which was attacked nearly 8 hours after the compound, the diplomatic compound, was attacked. So the American people have not gotten answers. We don't know where the president was that night. We don't know where Hillary Clinton was that night. We don't know whether there was or was not a stand-down order given to the military from the White House or the Department of Defense. They're denying that there was, and yet those military assets were not moving. And in fact, one of the people who was killed that night, Tyrone Woods, a former Navy SEAL, we've learned now from his father and other sources that he was told three times to stand down right away in the very beginning when the diplomatic compound was attacked. He could have left within minutes of the initial attack. He wanted to. He asked his chief, who was CIA station chief in Benghazi, and he was told three times not to leave. He only left against orders about a half an hour later, gathering up a couple of other Navy SEALs. And he was the one who relieved the attack on the diplomatic compound and got the diplomatic security officers who were there hunkered down inside those villas, was able to rescue them. Couldn't rescue the ambassador. He was already dead, but he did get three other Americans out alive.
Very interesting report and op-ed piece by Ken Timmerman. It was carried in the Washington Times. It is available on our website under Guest Editorial. You need to read it. Has some very provocative questions that need to be answered by someone in the Obama administration. Well, Ken, some other items that we need to talk about, staccato if we can. Talk to me about the president of Iran, Rouhani, actually saying you can dismiss nuclear fears as it relates to us developing any kind of a military weapon, a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. Is the guy outright lying to the world, or is he serious?
Well, look, anybody who believes this from an Iranian leader, an Islamic Republic of Iran leader, should get their head examined. They've been saying the same thing for the past 25 years. This is nothing new. It's no different from their official proclamations. If the Iranian regime has no desire to develop nuclear weapons or to build nuclear weapons, why are they spending billions of dollars to build all of these clandestine sites, which they reveal one by one, or they declare one by one when they become public through intelligence leaks or something else? I mean, it just makes no sense whatsoever. They had the opportunity, for example, to buy nuclear fuel for this power reactor they have at Bushehr from the Russians. The Russians offered this to them in 1995. They said, we'll give you a 10-year supply of fuel for $30 million, and the Iranians turned it down. Now, that, by the way, is a bargain basement price for nuclear fuel. But the Iranians said, no. Instead of your deal, 10 years' worth of fuel for $30 million, we're going to spend $1 billion to build plants to secretly make the fuel ourselves. Well, it just doesn't make any sense. We've heard this before. It's a lie.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel is saying. He said, do not let Rouhani deceive the world. They must be paying attention. But meanwhile, President Obama is telling Rouhani the U.S. is willing to allow Iran to show them that these nuclear weapons will not be for military use. Is he duped as well?
Well, Obama is essentially saying what he wants to believe. He's reading into Rouhani what he wants to believe. Obama has been looking for an out to the pressure on Iran from the very first day he took office. He declared during the presidential campaign in 2008 that he was going to open unilateral negotiations without preconditions with the Iranian regime. Now, that didn't work out so well, but he's been trying to do so ever since. And now the Iranians are responding, recognizing that they have in President Obama, excuse the phrase, but a willing dupe. They have somebody who is willing to believe their lies, willing to go along with the lies, and pretend to the world with a smile on his face that everything, all the problems have been resolved.
We're going to stay on top of this story. That's absolutely for sure. Let's take another focus. Bashar Assad, president of Syria, saying that the chemical weapons disposal is going to take about a year and about $1 billion. Is this a delay tactic? Is he going to still move ahead with the supposed deal between the Russians and the United States?
Well, I don't know if it's a delay tactic per se, because it certainly will take at least a year in the best of circumstances to collect Assad's chemical weapons and to start to dispose them. It took longer than that in Iraq after a war and with the forced cooperation of the regime. So it's not the timeline itself that I think is a problem. It's intelligence that has already started to come in from the field that Assad is dispersing the weapons, handing some of them to Hezbollah, terrorist group in Lebanon, which threatens Israel and others in the region, and maybe holding back or hiding hiding some of those weapons, carrying out a program of deception. That's the real problem that I see in this. And the second problem is that Assad is going to use his own turnover of chemical weapons to the international community as a means of putting pressure on Israel to disclose its alleged nuclear weapons stockpile. And I think that is something that we have to be very wary of as well.
What about this story, Ken? The United States military document that was leaked, somebody got a hold of it, saying that the rebels had sarin gas as well for an attack in Syria.
Yes, there have been a number of intelligence reports saying that the rebels had acquired sarin gas. This one in particular focuses on a shipment into Syria through Turkey that was seized by the Turkish customs. They found 2 kilograms of sarin gas that was going to the rebels. I think this is one of the reasons why the Obama administration was unable to release a declassified national intelligence estimate on Syria and Syria's use of chemical weapons in the August 21st attack, because with a national intelligence estimate, you essentially have to reveal when agencies dissent from the view, from the majority view. And here you have essentially a number of our military intelligence agencies that do not agree that the Syrian regime was responsible for the August 21st attack. And that politically does not sit with what the Obama administration wants us to believe.
About 15 seconds, Ken, if you will. Report coming out that half of the Syrian rebels are basically hardcore Islamists.
Well, that's right, and I guess it took Western researchers all this time to wake up to that fact, but that's the main reason why it is a perilous venture to be arming the Syrian rebels today. They are dominated by al-Qaeda-related groups or Muslim Brotherhood-dominated groups, and that would lead us to another Libya or another situation as we had in Egypt.
You know, when we talk with Ken Timmerman, he brings information to the table, essential for us to have so we can understand all of these current events that are unfolding across the world, especially the geopolitical activities. Ken Timmerman out of Washington, D.C., has a great vantage point to stay on top of all these stories. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.